invite you to turn to your Bible this morning, 1 Samuel 16. And so we're going to look at an Old Testament passage, and then we're going to look at a couple of New Testament passages this morning. And I'll give you just a moment to find that. We continue in this series of what does the Bible say about. And so this morning's topic is a very cultural hot topic right now of racism. And you've heard a lot about it, and I am not the expert at that. The Bible is, but I'm going to try to give you some insight around that. You know, how are we to be as Christians in the mix of everything that goes on with racism? And so we're going to look at some Bible verses that are actually, I would say, a little bit racist. Maybe some prejudice going on in there this morning. We're going to see that. And then we're going to look at some Bible verses about what does God expect from us out of our hearts this morning. So follow along with me. And if you're at home, I encourage you to grab your Bible as well. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. And this is the key that I want to look at this morning, the second half of this verse. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart of the person. Now that can be two ways, right? We can talk about the color of our skin, or we can also talk about our heart as far as it is aligned with Jesus Christ and our salvation. For the purpose this morning with the topic that we're dealing with, we're going to look at it from the view of racism this morning. And then also turn with me to John chapter 1. Verse 46. Now, let me give you a little groundwork on this. Now, Jesus, he's calling Philip and Nathanael, and he's forming his disciples, and he's beginning his ministry. And then, so there's conversation about Jesus and where did he come from. And this is the response that Nathanael gives. And here's a little bit of a prejudiced remark in the Bible. Nazareth, right? We got inflection. He speaks it out, and then he says this. Can anything good come from there? Nathanael said. And you get his intention, right? He's looking down at this town and this village, and what can be going on? There's nothing good in this place, is what he says. And maybe we run into that in our own lives, and we look at things as well. Just flip back with me just a couple pages to chapter 4. And I'm going to read to you verse 9. This is a story of the woman at the well, and she has a perception of Jesus, but mostly Jewish people. And so she says this, and remember, her and Jesus are in conversation. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." People groups, isn't there? There's definitely some separation there. They did not have a lot of love for each other in that time as well, but we see some of that going on as well here in Scripture. And now turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All right? So, and I'm going to add a few verses to that this morning in our message as we gather here. So let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we take on this topic today, may you bless this message. May this be your message and not mine. Lord, as you speak to us through your word as well, may you enlighten that word. Lord, may you teach us how to live in this world. Lord, give us relevance as well as we speak to this topic today. In Jesus I pray these things. Amen. I got a little story for you this morning. There were two apples that were hanging up in this tree, and they're looking down over the world. And they seen how messy the world was. They seen how so many people just couldn't get along, even within families and communities and neighbors and so on. And someday they said to each other, "We apples, that we're the only people that are going to be left. And then we will rule the world." And the green apple said to the red apple, "Which ones?" Right? Which ones? The red or the green apple is what he is referring to. And so this morning I want to address the topic of racism from a biblical point of view. Now racism is nothing new. It's been here since we've been living in a fallen world. And I need to also inform you, sadly, that it will never go away either. As long as we're in a broken world, as long as we're in a sinful world, we're going to see these types of things. But here's my challenge to you this morning. As the people of God, you and I can live differently. You and I don't have to fall into the trap or maybe the whole topic or the issue of racism. God expects us to rise up, to be the people of Jesus Christ, and to love one another. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Now, there are a wide range of words that we use today, and I just want to share a few of those with you this morning, and we'll dig into some of these, and maybe I'll give you some examples as we go as well. But let me just share with you, there's prejudice, there's discrimination, there's segregation, there's stereotyping, and then there's racism as well. And some of these, they kind of lay over each other, and they mix together, and they kind of go alongside of each other in life as well. But we're going to look at a few of these key things this morning. So let me just break these apart for you. Listen to the definition that I give you of these different words that we're going to discuss this morning. Prejudice judges a person's character by his or her outward appearance. Discrimination deprives a person of the right to have, whatever that might be. Segregation deprives a person of the right to belong to whatever that is. Stereotyping deprives a person of the right to be who they really are. Racism deprives a person of the right to birth, the way of life that they might live in this world that God calls them to, due to their skin color or ethnicity or whatever it might be. And so those very terms that are used today, they polarize our thinking between two extremes rather than emphasizing the closeness of the two. So these phrases, they emphasize the differences in people rather than the similarities. And I think as Christians today, it's our job to look at the similarities that we have within each other. And there are many, by the way. And I'm not going to go into great detail about that this morning. But in reality, we have way more similarities than differences. Genesis 1 verse 26, I've used this verse commonly throughout this series. And you know what that is, and you get that. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And everyone's made in that image. Every human being. All humans are created in the image of God. And so everyone is to be respected and loved just because of that one factor. That's it. Everyone is made in the image of God. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care what race you come from. God is your creator, and you are created in that image. That alone should put all of us on the same level field. There should be no differences, and I know that that's not happening in the world that you and I live in because of the sinfulness that has incurred or happened through Adam and Eve in the fall. So let's look at these different words this morning. When we, let me back up here. Let me start out, and I want to use the bottom here as well of prejudice. When we stereotype people, it leads to prejudice and discrimination. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. If your eyes are good enough, you can read in the brown box the definition of stereotyping, but you'll get it when I begin to talk about this morning. But it is a lazy way of lumping together all of those who come from a certain class, or a certain occupation, or a certain race, and attributing to each individual the same characteristics of the group. Now, I'm going to use a couple of examples this morning, but here's what I want you to realize. I do not want you to get offended by the examples I'm going to use. All right? Do you promise me that this morning? Okay. So here's what these are common things that we've heard over the years, but this gives you an idea of stereotyping. And so here's the first one that I'm going to use, and you're going to say, oh yes, I get that. All right, now I'm not picking on you ladies because of the color of your hair. All right, but here's one common one that we might hear about stereotyping, that blondes are dizzy. Have you heard that before? Right? See, that's stereotyping. You're saying that all blondes, no matter who they are, they're dizzy and they just don't get it. Right? Now, here's another one for you this morning. Teenagers are all rebellious. Right? Now, we know that's true. We got some great teenagers that live within our homes and so on. Now, there might be times they're rebellious, but they're not always and all rebellious. They're good people. Now, here's another one. I'm going to pick on you men this morning. All men are pigs. Right? You've heard that before? See, that's a form of stereotyping. We group everybody into that. And we might even use words like this. Well, she's a male chauvinist, or he's a female chauvinist, or whatever. We use those types of terms, and those are types of stereotyping that we might use in our vocabulary, or that we might think from time to time, just because we've been impacted by the society that we live in. And so rather, they show our laziness of judgment and our blind acceptance of some generalizations as being the rule for everything. Now, you might be thinking of some stuff that you might do in your own life that might come to you today as you think about this. And so maybe you find yourself, and maybe I find myself, putting people into groups or different kind of categories that we might use from time to time when we see certain people or we come across certain things in life, whatever it might be. But I want you to think about your preconceived notions this morning. What might we have of others in those situations? All right? The Bible says that those who judge according to outward appearance, they're fools. Right? We read that in Scripture this morning. I mean, you're a fool if you judge by outward appearance, because God says we should look at the heart of people, of who they truly are, right? Made in the image of God, because that's what God sees. That's what you and I should be looking at in people's lives, right? Their hearts, who they are. We shouldn't be looking at skin color or race or whatever it might be. That should be the last thing that we should be thinking about. But if we hold to prejudice in our lives, it can get pretty ugly. It can take over your life if you allow it to go there. It divides, it isolates, it ostracizes people. Prejudice thinks it understands persons or actions before acquiring any actual firsthand knowledge. Have you ever been in a situation where you judge someone before you know the facts of what's going on? Have you ever been there? Now, you do not need to raise your hand this morning in that question, because I think we might find some of us, we might have been there from time to time in our lives. I've been there as a pastor, and growing up, I find myself, judging people for who they are. You go to Walmart, and you see all kinds of different ethnicities and skin colors, and you think, well, what about that person? The other day, I'm heading into Sioux Falls. I'm going to see Jake Dieters, and here's this little car that pulls up beside me and loud muffler, and the windows are down, the radio's turned up, and he's smoking on his cigarettes, and he's got his hat flipped on backwards, and right now I'm thinking, who does this guy think he is? Right? You've been there, haven't you? See, and I was judging on outward appearance, wasn't I? And God says, no, you don't even know who this guy is. You need to first know his heart. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk to him or anything, but my preconceived notions, they kind of took over my thoughts about who this young man was in this car. And by the way, I had my windows up, and I could hear his radio better than I could hear mine. You guys have been there, haven't you? You know, and so when we get prejudice, we might even get a little bit judgmental. And God says, don't go there. If you're going to follow me, you need to love everybody for who they are. They're just a sinner like you and I. Right? Let me share with you a little story out of the Bible. And this is one of these verses I'm going to throw at you, and it's on the screen in the red box, just part of it. But in John 9, Jesus healed a man who was blind. And of course, you know, the Pharisees are all around him, and they see what's going on, and they witness this man's faith, and they pointedly identified the Pharisees as being prejudiced towards him, and, you know, they picked on him and said, you know, he's a sinner, he's not worthy, and all this kind of stuff goes on, and Jesus addresses the Pharisees, and this is what he says to them, and you can follow along in the red box, and Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may be made blind." That's what he said to them. Now you got to follow closely so you get this verse. "Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, 'Are we blind also?' Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, "We see." Therefore, your sin remains." They're a judgmental group of people. They looked on people and you know, with fault, and they weren't good enough, and they pointed out all the bad things that were going on in their society and the people that they'd seen. And so sometimes maybe prejudice is a perception problem that you and I have, right? It's defined as unfavorable judgment due to partiality. Think about that young kid in that car that I seen in Sioux Falls. You know, I was prejudiced towards him because I was judging this young punk-looking teenage kid with the loud radio thing. Who does he think he is? Jesus says, don't go there. Don't think those thoughts. Get to know the heart is what he says. And so let me just go just a step further with you this morning. I want you to be aware of maybe racial prejudice as well in our lives. And now let me also clarify this. I'm not saying that we deal with racism and that we're all racist and society says, you know, just because of our skin color that we're racist today. And I'm not saying that. So don't hear me say those things to you this morning, because there are a lot of good people in this world that have good hearts, right? They're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're not judgmental, but maybe we might find ourselves in some of those situations. But, you know, I told you this morning that racism is not new. You can see on the box on the screen here this morning, we had the verse out of John 1, verse 46 that we read. You know, what good can come out of Nazareth, right? That's a pretty hard slant there. You got John 4, verse 9 with the woman at the well. You know, you can't give me water. No way can a Jew associate with a Samaritan. That's off limits. You know, they divide in people groups. And, you know, racism is crude descriptions of people. They're offensive, they're demeaning, and such ugly slurs should never come out of the Christian's mouth. We should never speak down on the people of God, no matter who they are. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." We are to build people up. That's what God says. We are to encourage. We are to boost people up. We're to support one another, no matter who they are or what they do or where they find themselves in the world that you and I live in today. And so let me ask you this question. How are we to act in the midst of the things that are going on in the world that you and I find ourselves in today, and what the media says and what society or the culture has been preaching to us this past year? And I think what we need to do is you need to look at Philippians 2, verse 3. And you might have that in your outline, but if you don't, it's on the bottom of the screen. But keep that in your mind, because it's pretty simple and straightforward. It says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself." You and I are called to be humble people. That's what we're called to do. Right? You know, you get to thinking about the world that we live in. There's no way that one race can be better than another, because we've all come from the same offspring. Right? Are we a Bible-believing congregation? Most definitely. So who were the first parents? Adam and Eve. and everyone else descended from there. Now, you could talk about the Tower of Babel when God scattered the people and gave them different languages and, you know, different colors of skin took off. But you know what? In reality, they all came from Adam and Eve, all created in the image of God. We all have the same blood running through us. Remember how precious the blood is to the Lord? We learned about that the last few weeks ago out of the book of Leviticus again. Doesn't matter who we are on the outside, God looks at the inside. And so we have to be careful today in our world because racism can become the sin of pride, right? When you're prideful, what goes on in your mind? Have you ever done something and you get done with the project and you look at it and say, wow, I really did that well. Boy, that was a good job that I did. Have you ever been there in your life? Right, something might go on and you get prideful about how good you were at this or how well you done something, you know, and that kind of enters in. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing good work and all that, but we have to be careful that pride doesn't enter in and then you start to think, I did that, right? And then after a while you start to think about in your life, well, maybe I'm just a little bit better than so-and-so is when it comes to that type of stuff. Or, you know, and so you start to think, well, maybe I'm just a little bit better than that group of people or those group of people. And maybe, you know, and you start to think and you start to lift yourself up, don't you? That's pride. We become prideful. And we can find ourselves fighting pride in many different ways as we live life. You can go home and you look at your lifestyle and the things you have and the way you care for things and the things you might do and just be careful that pride doesn't enter. And so we can find that also in racism as well. Galatians 6 verse 3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, deceives himself. And so what I'm trying to get at here this morning is I'm trying to tell you that you're no better than the person sitting next to you or the person who lives down the street from you in the world that you and I live in. Let me share with you a little bit out of the book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter 10. Peter has a vision and he realizes some things that are going on in the world that are happening. But I think that God considers racism an important sin to overcome in our hearts when we can just let everything go and accept people for who they are. And now let me also make a disclaimer here. I'm standing on the word of God when I say that statement and the truth of how people should live their lives, so don't go off the edge on me there. But what I want you to understand is that I think that God sees this as an important sin in our lives that you and I must overcome. Because this is what he did with Peter in Acts 10. Because Jews were prejudiced against what people group? The Gentiles, weren't they? They all thought that the Gentiles, you must be circumcised. Remember that debate that they had in Scripture? And you must be like us and so on. And then God gives this vision to Peter. Acts 10 verse 28, and he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean, is what he says. That should speak right to us today as well, shouldn't it? How should a Christian live in the realm of what's going on in the world today? And then it goes on later in the book of Acts, same chapter, 34 and 35. Then Peter began to speak and he said, I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism to anyone, but accepts everyone from every nation, every skin color, whatever it might be, for who they are in their heart. That's the way to salvation. He looks at the heart. So the conclusion out of Acts 10 was simple, that God loves everyone. You and I this morning. You know, Al did his little demonstration up here this morning, and the blood of Christ washes us clean from our sins. And he asked the question, how many of you sinned this morning? And of course, you know, these kids, you just, what's going through their mind? You got to wonder, right? But what's going through your mind this morning when you think about that statement? Just know that you are loved. God loves everyone. Let me also share with you this morning just a statement that the world that we live in, it's broken, right? It's sinful. It's going to be filled with hatred. The devil's hard at work. He's the one that schemes against us. And so what I want to tell you is that not everyone will choose God. There's going to be some hard hearts that we live in this world, and there's going to be people that do some terrible, nasty things. That's not going to change. Now, we can pray for that change, and we can pray for those people that find themselves in those situations, but more importantly, you're the one that has to live this out if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ in your life. You are called to live the way that God teaches us in Scripture. 7 days a week, not just today, but Sunday to Sunday. And if I could finish up this morning, Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. That's what it's about. God has no partiality to any of them, and neither should we. So may I encourage you today to look at your own life and see, where do I need to do a little improving? Pray about that. Ask God to reveal those things to you, maybe, if that's going on in your heart. Sometimes we don't even know we do those things because they're such commonplace, aren't they? We're used to them in the society that we live in. But God calls us to live differently. And that's what I want to challenge you this morning with. That's what I want to encourage you with. And it's possible, through the power of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, to do those things, to live this way. And God is a God of forgiveness. So I pray that you and I can love all people like Jesus did. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this is a pretty rough topic right now in our country. And I know, Lord, we sit in a very white church and a very white community. And Lord, it's not our fault that it's that way, but you placed us here and we trust in your ways and your plan. Lord, but we do pray that you give us the eyes of Jesus Christ to see the things that you see, to love people the way that you love them. Lord, may we be people of encouragement, people that I just love your people because they're created simply in your image. May we be reminded of that, of your goodness, of your provision, of your care. And Lord, we also know that we live in a broken world where Satan seems to have control and the rule of the day. But yet, Lord, we know that you sit on the throne in heaven and you're still in charge. May we find our peace in that. May we find comfort from day to day as we live in somewhat of a hectic world today. Lord, this is nothing new. This has been going on since the beginning of time. And Lord, so may we do our part. In Jesus I pray, amen.